I prepared a message I've entitled Quest for the Glow. And this idea actually came from my wife. She presented it to me. I thought it was a pretty cool idea. And it actually reminded me of a childhood hero I had. I don't know if you call it childhood, though. I was a teenager. And there's this guy by the name of Bruce Leroy that I thought was pretty darn cool. Bruce grew up in a city around some questionable crowds, but he never let himself get sucked in and always remained true to himself and who he wanted to be. He stood out from the crowd, and it wasn't just because he wore a big goofy Chinese hat. There was something special about Bruce that had to do with his quest. He was on a quest to find the master. Bruce was at a point in his life, in order to continue his martial arts training, he had to find that master. And according to all the teachings, that master would be instantly recognized by a glow. If you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 34, I'll be starting there. Verse 29 and on. Came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands as he was coming down, that Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking to the Lord. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin on his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation, and they returned to him. And Moses spoke. And afterwards, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on the mount. And when Moses had finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off that veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel, he told them what the Lord had been commanding them. So the sons of Israel would see once again the face of Moses, and that his skin shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak to the Lord. Moses found that master. And as a result, Moses' own face glowed. He came away from his meeting with the Lord, shining the Lord's glory. And I believe this story can be symbolic of our Christian lives today. Three ways. First, Moses shone with the Lord's glory. And second, some people were afraid of it. Third, Moses tried to hide it. I imagine that some of these, if not all of them, have rung true in our lives at one point or another. Quite common coming up out of that baptism to have that glow, feel the fire. It's also quite common to run into a crowd that isn't interested and then to try and hide it. So let's take a few minutes now and learn about that glow. It appears to me that the closer you get to God, the more you glow. That's both in a physical sense and a spiritual sense. So if you want to turn back one chapter in Exodus 33, we'll be starting in verse 18. Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I'll take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. God glows so strong that just by looking him in the face, our human bodies can't handle it. We'll pass away. I imagine it, in my limited earthly sense, as looking someone into the sun, except magnified like a gazillion times. You can look at the sun, hurt your eyes, and I hear if you look in there long enough, it'll burn out your retinas. I don't know that for a fact. I've never seen it happen. It does make those little glowing spots appear everywhere else you look afterwards. But if you look at God, you die. Another thing that comes from the sun, get a nice suntan. Sometimes a sunburn. But with God, you get to glow. And in running through this idea of the glow, looking through the Bible, I actually realized that the glow is somewhat of a common thread. I didn't realize how often the glow came up. I was familiar with Moses' story, and the other stories as I picked through them, I recognized them, but I never put them all together and tied it into one common theme about a glow. In Matthew 17:2, some of the apostles get to witness the transfiguration of Jesus. That's when Jesus is standing on the mount, Elijah and Moses visit him. Well, during this transfiguration, Jesus had the glow. It said that his face shone like the sun. Also, angels can shine. In Matthew 28:3, we hear about the angel sitting on the stone that he had just rolled away, Jesus' tomb. That angel shone like lightning, so bright that the guard standing nearby fell down trembling and eventually passed out. And it was said, of course, that Stephen, who was on trial for being a Christian, to have the face of an angel. This is the first time I've ever tied this one in. But it occurred to me, someone told me today that I had the face of an angel. Probably mean that they thought I was sweet or innocent or something along those lines. Some sort of term of endearment. But I positioned myself back to the time when Luke was writing the book of Acts. Their understanding of angels was a little bit different than this world skewered vision. Angels then were quite powerful. People bowed down and trembled at their appearance. They fell down and worshipped. People were scared. It's quite possible Luke had even witnessed an angel or two at Jesus' departure. So when Luke says that Stephen had the face of an angel, it's a possibility that he's saying Stephen's face glowed. When we left Bruce Leroy, Bruce was on a quest for the Master. It seemed everywhere he looked, though, he couldn't find him. There are a lot of people out in the world today looking in vain, looking in the darkness. And I think that's where a glow comes into play. Those of us sitting here tonight have found the Master. With the Master, we should have the glow as well. It's not merely a desire of Jesus for us, but almost a requirement. It's who we're supposed to be. It's what we're supposed to show. We can read that in Matthew 5. Verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but instead they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So therefore, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We have the glow. All the people living in darkness, they'll know where to find the Master. We are His beacons of light, and it's a beacon's job to direct people to safety. Show them the way to the Master and to keep them from shipwrecking their lives. Notice that Jesus never compared us to glow bugs. They're not very common around here. I've seen them, though, in my travels. Glow bugs, they flicker on and off. Well, if we were a flicker on and off, it would be a lot more difficult to find. Instead, Jesus compares us to that city on a hill. I've driven across country before in the dead of night. Many of you probably have. In no man's land, there's not a lot of cities around. But you know when you're coming to a city, because that light will shine on for miles, and you'll see that light way before you see the buildings of that city. Those cities often are just on the ground, but Jesus compares us to a city on a hill standing above the level ground. How much greater would our light shine standing on the hill? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 7, but there's a lot of bouncing around, so you might not be able to follow along. The sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, even fading as it was. How shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? We are not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. As with Moses, Stephen, and that angel at the tomb, people often fear the glow. That's why Paul's warning us about that veil. People fear often pushes us to cover it up so we don't have to deal with the fear. It's a trap that Paul doesn't want us to fall into. Christians with that fear often try to veil themselves as Moses did, turning themselves into glow bugs that they weren't meant to be. I was talking to a volunteer firefighter at work, and we were talking about how hard of a job it might be called out to different situations and come onto accidents that there's no help for. There's nothing you can do. And I thought it'd be quite painful to be in those situations. They told me you couldn't fear the sad stories. Said you got to do the best you can every time. Some people will live that wouldn't have lived without your help, while the others wouldn't have made it anyway. I see it the same with us as Christians. We can't fear the negative reactions, but instead, we got to do the best we can every time. Some people we save that wouldn't have been saved. If we do nothing, our light doesn't shine and we don't glow, then nobody gets saved. Now, near the end of Bruce's search, Bruce Leroy was approached by a man that feared him and wanted to fight. They met hand-to-hand in combat. And Bruce was obviously going to lose that battle. Things were not going his way. It came to a point where Bruce was having his head forced in and out of a barrel of water. And it was in this water that Bruce had some sudden insights. And when Bruce came up out of the water, guess who had to glow? It was Bruce. The master was inside Bruce the whole time. And I got to tell you, without ruining the whole story, Bruce was on fire. And what about us? It's the same thing, isn't it? When we come up out of the water, we've got that glow. When you think about it, how could we not? At that point, we're closer to God than we had ever been in our lives. Our sins have been completely washed away. The Master shines through our squeaky, clean, sinless bodies. when we let sin back into our lives that the glow begins to fade. That's why we've got to renew ourselves every day. So ask yourself this. If you don't have the glow, do you have the Master? If anyone is interested in learning more about Bruce Leroy, there's a story from an 80s movie called The Last Dragon. If anyone is interested in more about the spiritual glow, took that one out of the Bible. There's a final story I want to end with. It's one I read probably about a year ago. I think it's a good example we could all follow. Back in the day, they didn't used to have these big fancy electric lights over all the roads. They had lights that had to be lit by the lamplighter guy walking around with a torch, walking on stilts so he could reach them. Well, there's a preacher who just happened to be sitting on a bench overlooking the road, and he saw the lamplighter guy walking by with his torch. And he watched him as he stuck his torch up, lit the first lamp, and then continue on, light all the lamps down the road. Eventually, he couldn't see that lamplighter guy at all, but he could still see all the lamps that he had lit. And he realized, as Christians, that's how our lives should be seen as well. He didn't know where that lamplighter was, but he knew where he had been. In the same way, when we look back on our lives, we might not be able to see everywhere we've been, but we should be able to see some of the places we've been. Thank you, guys. I'm going to invite Darrell up. He's got a closing announcement.